Okay, great daf today. Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Rabbi Zera Cholish Ol Lagabi Rabbi Bo. Rabbi Zera got sick and Rabbi Bo went to visit him, Kalbiole, and said, "E mitpach katina charisake." If the little man with the scorched legs, with the burned legs, Avdeni Yomatol Rabbanan. It's a nickname for Rabbi Zera, scorched man with the little legs. If he's cured, I'm gonna make a festival for the Rabbanan. So what does it mean, the rabbi with the scorched legs? Well, that's a funny description of him. So Rashi tells us, it refers to a Gemara of what he did. He used to burn his feet a little bit to see if he would feel the thing of Gehenna. He put himself around warm to feel. By the way, this was a normal way of Musar back then. It was called Sigufim. They used to roll in the snow. They used to do things that would take away, minimize pleasure of their body back then. This was the normal way of giving yourself Musar. That was the standard. So he did it, and he at one of the occasions, he injured himself. So they made a feast for him to get better. And Reb Zera got better. He healed. And he made a feast for all the Chachabim. When it came time to to Avid Tzudis L'Kul Rabbanan, Kimata L'Mishrei Amar Le Rabbi Zera L'Ishrei Lanmar. When it came time to break bread, Rabbi Boast Reb Zera, please, lead the, you know, break bread for us. He said to them, wait a second, Amar Le Lo Save Mar Har Dor Yochanan Amar Bala Bayis Botzea. No, don't you, isn't the halacha, like Rabbi Yochanan said, the host and Rabbi Abo, therefore, should make the hamotzi, should break bread for them. Okay, when it came time, so the host is supposed to make the hamotzi, and that's the prevalent minhag. When you go to someone's house, you don't give out hamotzi to somebody else.
You don't, but they do.
Who gives out hamotzi? No, always the head of the house does. Yeah. Himata lebruche, when it came time to benching, though, Amarle Navarach Lanmar, lead for us the benching. Amarle Lo Savar Lamar, Drahuna de Bin Bavel, Damar Botserach. Or don't you hold the halacha of Huna Bavel, said that who breaks the bread is the one who makes the what's it called, the Birkas Hamazon. So you command sorely. Who does the Rebbe hold like? So you say, Balabayas Botseya, Va'orech, and the guest Mavarach. Balabayas Botseya. The Balabayas does the bread. Why? So he gives out nice portions. He's the host. Orech is Mavarech. The guest makes the benching because he's Yavarech, the Balabayas. By the way, back then, what do you mean he's the benching? Back then, the host, the person making the benching, would do the whole benching out loud. So when you say that somebody does the benching, it didn't mean back then they're the ones who say the Rabbosai Nevarech. It meant they're the ones who say the whole benching out loud. That's an important distinction. What would be the blessing the bencher would say? Yihi Ratzon, it's that passage. That Yihi Ratzon is printed in half the benchers. It's not in all the benchers. Yeah. So that's the reason. They wanted the guest to be able to bless the host, the Yihi Ratzon. Okay, that's where you put it in there. And the Gemara talks about you could add the possibility of adding, poskim say you could add whatever you want to it, by the way. You could add whatever you want into that Yihi Ratzon that you bless the host. I had a psak I received from Aaron Lichtenstein that when I do the Rabbosai Nevarech, right, when you say the Bereshus, I don't see the Bereshus Balas Abayis, because the permission to bench means the one who normally was supposed to lead the benching, the head of the household, who was the one making the hamotzi. You're asking Rishus that it's moved from that person now to the Orech, to the guest. The hostess feels that they're not getting a bracha if they're not the Rabbosai Nevarech. That's why in the Yihi Ratzon, which is further in the prayer, further in the benching. This Yihi Ratzon the Gemara is talking about, which is the main reason why a guest leads the benching. The Yihi Ratzon, you put in a formulation for the Balas Abayis as well. You give her a blessing as well in the Yihi Ratzon.
No, so when you benching,
yeah,
when you say Balabai,
you're referring to, good. All that was within the domain. Very good. Very good.
Don't tell that you're about that.
Okay.
So you don't say Bereshus?
We say Bereshus. Oh, I don't say Bereshus Balat Abayis. Listen, it's not, it's just a formula. It's, the line is a formularity. So formularity. So it's not worth offending somebody over that. If someone's gonna be offended, but I'm just telling you, you know, that that seems to be the, made sense to me when I heard it.
You get offended
today, yeah, it made sense to me. COVID abrius would dictate you could put it in there a little bit maybe. Now, okay. So what's interesting here is, why didn't Rabbi Zera? Why didn't Rabbi Zera lead the benching? That's the question, right? Why didn't he lead the benching? So the question is, he was a Kohen. He should have led the benching. He's a Kohen. He should have led the benching. So I heard a pshat, and it was from a mainstream achron, and I can't remember who I heard it from. It's a wild pshat. You ready for this? Rab Zeira, how he was a Kohen. He should have led the benching. Rab Zeira in the Gemara Megillah, famous Gemara, right? Daf Zion, where Kam Shach de Rab Zeira, where Rava got so drunk on Purim, he killed Rabbi Zeira, right? You look up, what does Shachtei mean? You look on the side, different pshatim. Steinsaltz even says on the side, Shachtei doesn't mean kill literally, but, you know, that he mocked him, went so, or he hugged him so tight that he passed out. Okay, but simple pshat when you read the Gemara is Shachtei, he killed him. Okay, they had a whole mess that Purim that year. They brought him back to life. Rab Zeira came back to life. The next year, he didn't want to have a suda with that guy, and he didn't want to have a suda with Rav anymore. Okay, Kam Shachtei Rab Zeira. It's a famous Gemara. There's a lot of drush on that Gemara, a lot of agadata. So the one of the Achronim, I forgot who it was, wanted to say that that's why he didn't leave the benching. Once he came back to life, he wasn't a Kohen again. Right? He came back to life. Are you still the same status as you were before? It's a great little vignette because the implications are amazing. What is going to be your status? There's Gemara's in Sanhedrin, which says that Aaron is going to be the Kohen again when he comes back in the Dimilta Mashiach. So it sounds like you keep your status. What's your status? What's your status afterwards? Are you still married? Let's say someone flatlines and they bring you back to life. You know, there's so many implications to such a drush that the options are out there. Okay, so you have this whole formulation, Yubachol Mechasav, Yushlum Mitzlochem, and so on and so forth. You have this whole back and forth. And then the Gemara continues and says, what is considered Birkas Hamazon, right? Shnayim Ushlosha is the fourth bracha, you know, Baruch Tova Meitiv included. Bonei Yerushalayim, we talked about Bonei Yerushalayim, is that which parts are Deraisa, which parts are not Deraisa. Right. By the way, everyone agrees. Like brachas before are not deraisa, so birkas hamitzvah are technically speaking not necessarily the bracha itself may not be a deraisa. The birkas hamazon, everyone agrees deraisa. So everyone has to realize that take birkas hamazon very seriously. Everyone agrees it is deraisa. There's different amram nachlet.
What they added in there is not deraisa.
That's the question: is tova meitiv is deraisa, lav deraisa? Which parts of it are deraisa?
You're supposed to be.
So it could be the first three brachas, maybe the last one is not. The Bnei Yerushalayim, the reason we put an amen after our own Bnei Yerushalayim, even though in general you don't answer amen to your own bracha, you answer amen over here because you're signifying it's the end of the deraisa set. Yeah. Mayim Rishonim, where do you do the Mayim Rishonim? Mehechav Antchilim, who do you begin with to do the Mayim Rishonim, to wash your hands at the beginning of the meal? And then who do you begin with to do the Mayim Achronim? There's a lot of discussion here also about reclining. Reclining at a meal is also discussed over here as well. Okay, a lot to discuss. Okay, now who should be the one who says Amotzi, right? So what was Rabbi Avo's reason for asking Rabbi Azera to do the Hamotzi, right? What was he thinking? So the Gemara says Rav Avos the opinion that the guests write the Birkas Hamazon, but what about the Hamotzi? So Tosfos Rosh says that Rabbi Abo felt that Rav Zeira was the host at the meal, since the meal was made in his honor. That's what he thought. He thought he is the host. It's not his house, but he's the host. It's in his honor. This is his party. Rav Zeira explained to Rav Avos that the fact the meal was made on his behalf didn't give him the status of being a host. The Marsha says a little differently. Rabbi Abo was the opinion that even though the host normally says Hamotzi, that's only when there's no guest there who's on a higher level of being a Talmid Chacham. But if there's a guest who's a higher level, then maybe that person should get the Hamotzi. So that was his train of thought. Right. The other issue we just said is until where do we determine the Birkas Hamazon, right? Where do we determine the Birkas Hamazon? So the Gemara says, right, where do we go? Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshet said whether it's Til Nevarach, which is Rabbi Nachman, right, Rav Nachman's opinion, and or the blessing Hazan, which is Rav Sheshes, says until Hazan. The Gemara says that the argument is similar to an argument between two brises. One brisa says the Birkas Hamazon is sometimes two, and one brisa says sometimes three. Well, another brisa says Birkas Hamazon is sometimes three, or sometimes four. So what does the Gemara mean when it says until where is Birkas Hamazon? Until when? What does that mean, until when? And what does it mean, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes three, sometimes four? So Rashi says the Gemara wants to know where Zimun ends. Oh, by the way, I got an answer, Walter, to your question. How did Rav Soloveitchik see the difference between davening with a minyan and the Chazaras HaShas? Right? Listen to this classification. One is Tfila Bitzibur, and one is Tfilas Hatzibur. Davening in a minyan is tefillah b'tzibur. You are davening in a minyan. You share each other's chusim, but the davening you're doing is essentially a tefillas hayachid that happens to be done in the context of a tzibur. The shliach tzibur, when he leads the chazaras hashas, that's tefillas hatzibur. That has a different, that Shmon Esrei has a different status. It's a korban that's offered on behalf of the tzibur, that you are now all mishtatefin. You are all part of that tzibur. That's the difference in identity between the private Shmon Esrei and the Chazaras HaShas afterwards. Yeah, very interesting. Very. One is a private tefillah in a tzibur.
Where does the tefillah come from? In other words, tefillah b'tzibur.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all these Brisker classifications are new ways of classifying things that are already there. It's their phraseology.
I understand. But
yeah. I didn't see the whole piece. I just was listening to a shir. We were listening to a shir on the way to the wedding, and I heard the, this is what I heard. Okay. Now, the mount just yesterday when we were talking about it. And it wasn't the shir on yesterday's daf. Okay, so the Rashi says the Gemara wants to know where Zimun ends when three or more people say Birkas HaMazon together. That's the question. What's the end of the Zimun part? Rabbi Nachman says that it ends after Nevarech. Rav Sheshes says that benching, the Zimun before benching, ends after the first paragraph. You hear that? After the first paragraph of benching is part of the Zimun. Rashi points out that according to Rav Sheshes, a person who says Birkas HaMazon by themselves would skip the whole first paragraph. The famous first paragraph. According to Rashi's Pshat and Rav Sheshes, you would skip the whole first paragraph. Tosus vehemently disagrees with Rashi. Tosus says that it's unreasonable to think that Rav Sheshes, whose opinion is the halacha, right, entirely skipped a bracha of Birkas HaMazon if he said it by himself. So he says when the Gemara was asking where is Birkas HaZimun, it wanted to know a case where one person interrupted his eating. If, let's say, two guys wanted to go and they wanted you to pause your eating so they could leave, how long do you have to listen to their benching before you can go back to your eating? So that's the answer. Two, three, and that's what the whole Gemara was draying around over here with this specific concept.
Is that acceptable?
Is that what? What?
Is that acceptable now?
What?
The guy says, I got to leave. Can we bench? And you're not finished with your meal?
You wait and listen to the end of the first paragraph. You listen to the Rosh, and then you go back to eating. And then you'll bench the whole thing. Yeah.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's Tosis' shot.
Alan, did you know that?
No, Alan didn't know it.
Alan, did you know that?
Maybe.
The benching?
It's fine. We'll do the bechina. You'll give him the bechina afterwards. Okay. So next, the Gemara describes a bracha that's supposed to be included in the Birkas HaMazon for a guest to bless their host. Right? Right. We have the Sihi Ratzon that's supposed to be in there. So for that reason, that's why the guest is generally honored with the leading the Birkas HaMazon. So he should have the opportunity to say that bracha.
That's at the end,
the Yiratzen, yeah. So Rav Kook, it shouldn't be afterwards, by the way. It should be part of the Aliyah Chasreinu.
Yeah, it's afterwards.
And that depends where the Siddur prints it. It should be part of the Aliyah Chasreinu bracha. It should be part of there. So it's for that reason the guest is generally honored with leading the benching, so you could have that opportunity. Rav Kook, in his Tshuvas Orech Mishpat, Rav Kook says that the contemporary practice is that every individual recites the Birkas HaMazon personally, so there's a less of a need now for the guest to lead the benching, because everybody could throw in the Sihi Ratzon. The guy sitting at the end of the table who was not asked to lead the benching, he could also throw in the Sihi Ratzon. You understand? Since everybody says it on their own now, everybody could throw in that bracha, and you don't have to worry so much. You don't have to worry so much about making sure he gets the right kibud, the right guy. So the Mishnah Brura implies that the harachaman in honor of the host is going to fulfill that purpose. And Ramosha Sternbach, who says that even that therefore everyone who stops at Aliyah Chasreinu on Shabbos has to say this harachaman. There's a Tshuvas Divrei Sholem by Rav Sholem Krauss that says that you don't need to be worried that this is considered an inappropriate prayer on Shabbos. You know, you're not supposed to ask for things on Shabbos, right? But as a rule, we discourage that on Shabbos because you're not supposed to worry about your own needs. It's going to evoke a worry on Shabbos that you're not supposed to have. But in this case, it's directed towards another, that someone else has what they should need. And therefore, it's not going to evoke worry. You're blessing the other. You're not asking for yourself. And that's why we include it. One more thing I want to share with you. I have to pick up a guest speaker
for
the kids.
The Shmoneh Esrei, nothing. There's no mention at all about...
No, your own supplication, no. No, non-Shabbos. So the Chashukei Chemed says over here, great Shaila, right? It says, the Orach Mavarach Kedei Shivarach Balabayas. Listen to this tshuva. Birkas HaMazon, we say the Bnei Ashkemaz, Harachaman Yishlach Lanu Bracham Ru Bayit Zev Al Shulchan Zeh Shachan Olav. On this table that we've eaten. What do you do if, let's say, Erev Pesach, you having your last chametz or whatever it is in the morning, so you want to eat outside, right? There's no table there. You say, al-shulchan zeh, al-shulchan alav. There's no table there. You're many times not in the house. You're eating in the corner over there, eating a little bread, your last roll. What do you do if you're on an airplane or on a train? Do you say, al-shulchan zeh shalchanu alav? So he says, in an airplane, if the airplane is owned by non-Jews, says Rav Zilberstein, say, harachaman hishlach lana bracham b'lichasenu ubiyeshivasenu at olam. Mr. Brewer brings that nusach. You change the nusach. And if the plane belongs to Jews, you say, harachaman yivarachas balabayas azeh. Because the kvias of the achila makes it a bias. Ukein mashakosav a Mr. Brewer. That you could say the harachaman yivarachas balabayas, and it's going on the balasuda. Begina, the next one. What if you're in a park? Ha'ocha begina o b'chol makom she'no bayis. It would seem that you would say, harasa harachaman ishlachanu murach l'senu b'yeshiva senu. And don't say, b'vayit al shulchan zeh shachanu alav. Nobody, I don't know anybody who knows to change the nusach, right? If you're in a restaurant and a hotel, there I was unsure because you're paying the guy. Now you're chayef to bless him? You just sat there, you paid $100 to have dinner there, and now you're chayef to bless him. But I spoke to my father-in-law, Rav Yoshev, and he said, "Pashut li levarach, pashut you make the bracha, because the bala, you're getting joy from the bala misada. If the bala misada was not there, you'd have to worry tonight. You'd have to figure out how we're going to defrost the chicken. You'd have all the issues that the kids came home hungry. You still owe mahakara satov that was done over there, even if you paid for the meal and you say al shulchan zeh shalchanu alav.
That's why you pay 18%.
That's why you